I'm going to start with a reading tonight, and it's taken from Psalms 37. I'll not actually be reading all of Psalms 37, but it is all relevant for tonight's service if you want to read it all later. I'll be just reading the first seven verses. It says there, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither.
Yes.
Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when the people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." One thing in life that strikes me that we all, in some ways, suffer from is that we can look around us and see success virtually everywhere that we look.
Yeah.
And yet these people that seem to be successful and bountiful, and maybe you might look at it as being rich or having a fantastic way of life, having all the things that they desire, and you would think make you happy. But none of these people seemingly know God. Yet they're prosperous, so to speak. And strangely, something that, again, affects us all, I think, is our hearts then are burning. Or downcast. And yes, as it says in this scripture, we too might fret. Now you might be saying, well, no, that's not me, Steve. I know this already. I know God is on my side and victory is his. But if that was the case, there would have been no need for this scripture. Scripture's there for a reason. Yeah. And it's there to guide us and lead us. So that's why I think this particular scripture tonight is applicable to all of us. No matter where we are on our Christian journey, in some ways, this fretting can become part of our daily lives. Now, a lot of psalms are written and are used, even in today's society, as song. Yeah. A lot of the descriptions of the psalms prior to the actual psalm itself says that it's a song or a verse written down. But that doesn't stop it from being an instructional part of Scripture. And I think here it is very much so an instructional message. It opens with the words which, to me, give it that type of a message. It opens with the words, "Do not," which to me says it's an instruction. And also, it shows that it's something that we all fall into and can easily get distracted and lead us into ways which we might not really want to be going. The next word in the Scripture, which I've already mentioned, is the word "fret." Now that's quite an interesting word. We think of fret as worrying or being anxious. That it is. And when we think about the prosperity of others, as in non-Christians, and we see maybe their wealth, their successfulness, what do? Quite often we could probably fret. We could quite often look at our own lives and think, well, I'm not doing as well as that. Better get some overtime in. My life's not running as smooth as his. He seemed to be going on holidays, getting all the good things, but where am I going wrong? And that anxious feeling turns to stress. And that can affect lots of things in our lives. Our health, our well-being, our walk with God. Yet this Scripture tells us, instructs us, do not fret. But you might think, well, that feeling will pass. Our life will continue, we'll get by. Is this what God's wanting in our lives, that we just get by? Is this the Christian path, to just get by? Quite often, I think we can soon jump on that bandwagon and say, yeah, we'll get by. Yeah, we remember them words and we know that God's on our side, so we'll get by. Is that our Christian path? Is that our Christian way? Is that our life in being a Christian? To just get by? this scripture is relevant to each of us tonight. This short passage, or the part of the passage that I've read to you, is important in each of our lives. And it's important that we grasp the content. Are we excluded by just saying, I am content already? I was looking at the word fret again, and there's another meaning to the word fret, or another use of the word fret that I come across. And I thought this use of the word fret is quite relevant with this scripture. And I was thinking of fret being as a constant. Now, where is fret, F-R-E-T, as a constant? I thought of the sea. Now, you might have heard of a phrase of sea fret. And this is when the waves are constantly churning at the edge of the shore. That constant movement of the waves coming in on the seashore. Now, not too far away from us, and something which is actually getting closer to us, is the East Coast. And the reason for it getting close to us is because of the sea fret. That constant churning against the edge of the shore. The pounding of the waves against the cliffs. And I've seen pictures of houses disappearing off the cliff edge. And the shape of the coastline changing. Not so much that we notice it straight away, but if you put it on time scale video, the edge of the coastline is at a constant change. This is the fret that is going on within our lives. A constant niggle. A constant grind on our surroundings, on our life, on our situation. Something which seems to never change, and that is because it is always there. Just like that sea keeps churning at the edge of the shoreline, the fret which it speaks of in this scripture is constantly trying to get in. It's constantly trying to take something away from us. And that something is something which is so special in each of our lives. At this point, the words in the scripture reminds us of a children's song which we quite often sing. The grass withering and the plants falling. Now this is referring to the prosperous folk that we see around us. The people without the knowledge of our Father in our lives, yet seemingly doing better than what we're doing. Seemingly achieving more than what we're achieving. Seemingly being in a better place than where we are. And seemingly not having this threat in their lives. But it tells us there that they're not of substance. That grass will wither and that plant will fall. The text then draws us onto our gain. Onto our gain in this society, in this world that we live in. And the plan in which our Father has for us. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Remember the sea fret, the constant wear and strain. This scripture tells us of something fantastic, something which we all can reach out and claim. God is here, now, in and around you. In Him we can claim that security, knowing that we're safe even in the midst of the threat. Now you might be thinking, Well, Steve, where is our reward in all this? You've spoke of others around us and how well they're doing, but where's our reward? This is why I'm so fretful. This is why I'm so anxious. Because I can't see our reward. Those thoughts might be going through your mind. Our prosperity, our pot of gold, as it were. Sometimes that in itself can be the very thing which is our personal threat. And so then that leads me to say, as individuals, are we looking in the right place? Are we searching in the right place for what God has got for each of us? Jeremiah 29:11 says that, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." a prosperous life is ours. But the thing is, we might be just translating it incorrectly. The problem is, we're only human. And our outlook on life, unfortunately, can only be human too. There's original scripture in Psalm 37, reading from verse 4. It says there, "Take delight in the Lord." Yeah. "And He will give you the desires of your heart." Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteous rewards shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. When the people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." Yeah. Take delight in the Lord. Yeah. Doesn't say you might get delight in the Lord. Doesn't say, if you do this for me, you can take a bit of this. It says, take delight in the Lord. It's already there. Take delight in the Lord. It's giving you the key to that success, to that prosperous way of life. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What a joy, what a path, what a choice. The great thing is, in taking delight in the Lord, prosperity will follow. To the needs of our hearts and minds. But this is a challenge to each of us. To achieve this goal, which is ours for the taking, the commitment to Christ is vital. Yeah. And the reason for this is, without that commitment, the fret will come. Yeah. That little nibble, that little bit of erosion, If you've been quite every now and again, I'll not say often because it's not often, every now and again we can go for walks. And sometimes the paths that we walk on might be quite close to an edge. And sometimes you can find that the paths will be cornered off because part of the path disappeared and a new route has been made. This can be true in our own lives and on our own journey as a Christian. Sometimes, if we allow that fret to come in, that erosion can take place on our path. Things might start crumbling, and suddenly, before we know it, that little word fret might come into our lives. He's on a much nicer path over there. Why am I here? You're here because of that prosperity which comes in delighting in the Lord. Shine like the dawn. Our justification is like the noonday sun. So that's not only telling us to shine brightly for our God, for Christ, but that our brightness can be at its brightest, like the noonday sun, at its best, not just enough to see where you're going, but it's at its best. Our sacrifice in knowing God in His fullness is our true reward. To set time for Him is our gain. That is what keeps our path from eroding. That is what keeps the fret at bay. To dwell in Him is our root. Patience in Him, waiting on Him, and giving Him our all and not just a part is the answer. In the last verse, in the last verse of what I've read from this scripture, it repeats the words, "Do not fret." Do not fret. Do not become anxious. Do not worry. What we look at in our lives that might be seemingly unobtainable, in this scripture, it tells us that this kind of goal will simply spoil and rot away, wither and fall. If we were wanting to obtain what is seemingly unobtainable, that way would lead to destruction. But what this scripture does tell us is the way to prosperity is through our Lord, in having a fixed purpose and plan through God, a stable walk in Him, that fret at bay because our eyes are fixed on Jesus. Our path is clear. In Him, our prosperous life is available. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's exactly what you need in Him. That is your desires of your heart. I've got in my garden, which isn't a garden anymore because it's all decked, but I've got a car in my garden, a very old car, a little Mini. Now, not so long back, it was on the road. It was bright, shiny red with nice white stripes over it. And it was a very nice looking little car that I'd already brought back to life. But for the past few years, that nice, bright, shiny car has been in my back garden. It's not moved. It's not gone anywhere. But what was seemingly a fantastic possession to have, over the years, it's now gone rusty. Things have started falling off it. So what was, to me, something which was of great value has now become spoiled and rotted in my garden. But it's now a piece of art. No, it's not really. But this and other things can be so drawing on our lives in thinking that it's something that we really want and really desire. But our desires should be with God. Our life should be with God. In Him, there's no rotting. There's no withering. There's no falling down. There's substance. There's something permanent. There's something solid. do not fret. Proverbs 3 verses 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Prosperity can be our downfall. Basically, because we look on it in our own understanding. But God says, through David here, that prosperity is for each and every one of us. And prosperity is there for you to take. So, I want to challenge each of you tonight and say, have you got prosperity in your life? Have you got prosperity in your life? And then I'm going to say, do you want it? And then I'm going to say, as this scripture says, have it. It's there. It's there for the taking. Talk to him. Talk to our Father. Talk to your Lord Jesus. And let him know that you want that prosperity. Let him know that you don't want that erosion in your life. That you say to that fret, go back, because it's no place in this life, because this life is for Jesus. Prosperity is something that, as a human, your heart naturally desires. So that's why this scripture is so important to us all. Because in this very scripture, it tells us that God's prosperity, our Father's prosperity, gives you the desires of your heart. And it's a desire, or the desire which God gives you, is of substance. It's solid. It'll not wear away. It'll not get eroded. It does not suffer from fret. Our humanism does suffer from fret. So that's why it's so important that we claim God's prosperity in our lives and in our minds and in our bodies and in our path and in our way and in our walk and in our daily communion which is with God, our Father. Amen.